What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 10 of the Tucson Pinball Podcast. Let's talk about post-expo, Chicago Pinball Expo, that is, and how that affects Tucson Pinball. But first, some news. I got an email just a couple days ago. We have our booth number for the Tucson Comic-Con event coming up here in early November. So if you're in the Tucson area, if you're in Phoenix, come on down and come hang out with us, play some games, and we will be at booth number 1311, and that's a Friday evening, all day Saturday, and most of the day Sunday. I think it ends at like 5:30 on Sunday, so, and at that point we will vacate and return the machines to where they have been staying. So, second order of business is there is a really cool tournament coming up, and I'm going to pivot right now and try not to break anything. Alrighty. So, the Tilt Studio Halloween Spooktacular is going to be at Tilt Studios up in Phoenix. It's at the Arizona Mills Mall, and it's going to be October 30th. And let's see, information is 3 hours of four-player match play, 7-5-3-1 scoring. It says anticipate between 6 to 8 rounds. Will be held within the 3 hour time frame. Costumes welcome but optional. Let's see. Start time is 1 p.m. Please arrive by 12:45 to register. And that is being put on by Tracy, who is also doing the weekly tournaments at Tilt Studio as well as the monthly in that same location. So Tracy's been crushing it as far as turnout goes. So that's definitely a thing to try to do. Just for a little bit of perspective, in the Tucson area, the D&D monthly event tends to get around, anywhere between 10 and 14 players, I think, has been the average the last several months. The bi-weekly that I run gets around, well, on a not-so-good day, it's around 4 players. On decent days, it's still high single digits, but, you know, that's kind of what it is. We're still in growth mode and attempting to do that as best we can. And the weekly league that Tracy runs up there has been getting, I think, 26. And then the monthly, I think they had 30 this last time around. So definitely some good attendance up there. So if you're in the Tucson or Phoenix area, that is where you want to be. So let's just throw that out front and center. And I think I'll be getting there. Not 100% sure. That's obviously around Halloween time. And with two little ones, or not so little ones anymore, trick-or-treating and everything like that. So we'll see what my schedule has in store for me, and hopefully I'll be able to get out there. Let's see. Okay, so post-expo. There's 1,000 different ways to have this covered, and 1,000 different ways it's already been covered, so I don't really feel like rehashing all the same, you know, this group did this, this group was embarrassing, this group didn't bring anything, or this group was awesome, I can't believe it. You know, we're not going to do that. There's plenty of other ways to do that. No, instead we're going to talk about how this expo may or may not affect Tucson Pinball. And so we're going to start with the games that were shown and the odds of them being in the Tucson area, maybe, in public location play. So let's say there's 4 machines, because the 5th machine that people were guessing was going to be shown is the next remake that Chicago Gaming Company has been doing. You know, Medieval Madness remake has been going on and is shipping, and, you know, it is what it is. And people were speculating that their next remake was going to be exposed and kind of discussed, and maybe even pre-order, pre-sold type deal, just like with Medieval Madness. And it wasn't. So that one is not even going to be on the list, even though it's going to be discussed right here, just like I said. So number 4, and this is from least likely to most likely, but none of these are guarantees. So number 4 is Houdini. They showed that machine in not a cabinet. They showed the playfield, and it was not playable. It looks nice. The art's cool. I don't know. That's one of those wait and see type of things, because that's a new company, and they don't have, you know, they're kind of starting off in quicksand. You know, it's the J-pop drama. So if you want to know more about that, John Papaduik, if you need the spelling, he's the guy that designed Theater Magic and a couple other games. Just look him up and prepare to be reading for a while, because there's lots of stuff there. So number three, Dialed In. Yes, the JJP Jersey Jack pinball machine number three is called Dialed In. And that's a phrase used in pinball. It's used in other places too. It's not exclusive to pinball. It takes place in Quantum City. People have said that it looks like a SimCity 2000 type situation, but there's emergencies that you're assisting with, and you're a superhero with a cell phone or something like that. I don't understand the full concept of it quite yet, but it is also brand new, and people were just kind of playing it and picking up whatever they could. But pinball machines take a little time to learn and understand kind of the background story when they're unlicensed titles. So very, very good job for... It's a Pat Lawler game. You know, it looks... The layout looks a lot like Pat Lawler's, not typical, you know, you can tell it's a Pat Lawler game. That's not a positive, that's not a negative, it's just, that's his style, and that's cool. The R looks pretty good, the name is atrocious. It takes place in Quantum City. So, what's a better name for a pinball machine, Dialed In or Quantum City? You be the judge. Let's see, it is where it is on the list because it is expensive. The theme is probably not going to grab very many people's attention. The screen will. It's got a 27-inch monitor in the back box. But the theme itself, you know, people were kind of like, Dialed In. Okay. And the scoop shot, when the machine is saying, hey, shoot the scoop, it's a cell phone and it's ringing. And it doesn't stop ringing until you shoot it. And holy cow, that better be either adjustable or just removed completely. Because the short videos that I saw where you were primed for multi-ball, shoot this scoop, and all the magic stuff happens. Oh my goodness. whatever. You know, maybe you can tune it out. I don't know. Cool features. A few kind of not so cool features that, you know, like there's a Mick on the stick type thing. If you've ever played Rolling Stones, and Mick on a stick on the Rolling Stones, it's Mick Jagger, and he moves from side to side. He's in this little groove pattern. It's kind of like what Drac is on Monster Bash, but a little bit more front and center, and he's got a much wider arc, so he gets in the way of everything. On what should be called Quantum City, he doesn't get in the way. It looks like Bob the Builder, though. And I don't know. There's just... It's a little bit like early 2000s CG-looking stuff. And I don't know. Make it a little bit more detailed. I don't know. It looks cool, though. I mean, it looks great. But holy smokes. So there is a collector's edition that is insanely expensive. There is a limited edition, which is really expensive, and those are your other options. Those are your only options. The limited edition is limited to 6,999 units, which, if you're selling Ford F-150s and your name is Ford, okay, I can see 7,000 units as being limited. If you're selling pinball machines and Jack makes 300 pinball machines a month, that's a long time to even manufacture 7,000 pinball machines. So, you know, I don't know if that's a little tongue-in-cheek or whatever, but definitely with those numbers, yikes. Anyways, so moving on. Number two on this very short list is Batman 66. And the color pattern on this one looks really appropriate. It's very vivid colors. You would almost think it's cartoony, except it's not. It's hand-drawn art type stuff, so it's kind of a comic book style, but it's the same kind of colors that were on the TV show. Very, not quite highlighter, but very vibrant colors of your greens and all your other stuff. So that's number two, because they are only doing the really ridiculous Super LE, which I don't even want to talk about. They're doing 240 limited editions, which are expensive, very expensive. And then they're only doing down to a premium. And I can understand, because it's a promotional thing. I don't want to say promotional. It's an anniversary thing for both Batman and for Stern. And so it is what it is. They're not doing a pro. If there was a pro model where they, I don't even know what they would take out, you know, at this point, because I don't know. So anyways, if they did a pro model, this game would probably be number one, but they're only going down to quote unquote a premium. And I don't know, that might take a couple of years of depreciation before I'm in the market for that one. So let's see. Number one on this list of games you might see at Tucson Pinball: Alien. Alien kind of won the show in certain arenas, and other games won the show in other arenas. But Alien, I think, was probably the overall winner. It was an anticipated release. People knew that Alien was supposed to be revealed. They knew that it was coming. I mean, because it's been in work for about 2 years now. And it looks good. It's a wide body. There's several flippers. There's a lot of shots. And that's almost as far as I can go as far as commentary goes, because I've actually never seen the movie Alien or Aliens or Alien. You know, that's one and two. So there's Aliens 3, Aliens 4, Aliens versus Predator, which I have seen that one. You know, I'm not completely in the dark. But that's kind of it. So the modes look kind of interesting. There's something about like collecting weapons and deploying them for self-defense, or, you know, something like that. But then there's another mode where the aliens are coming towards you, and you have to fend them off by hitting various shots. Not like specific shots, it didn't look like, but in quadrants of the play field. So if there's four aliens coming at you, you have four quadrants of the play field that you're trying to shoot at, and once you hit all four of them within time, you win the mode or get away or whatever it is. But it looks good. And the critiques on Highway Pinball are that they don't have the LE artwork done, and I'm assuming they're trying to or wanting to ship the LEs first. They don't have the LE artwork done yet, because they were doing the standard edition stuff while still trying to get approval from Fox, and everything came together at seemingly the 11th hour, and they were able to show it at Expo. So they had two machines there. It was shown at Twin Peaks, and the party was very well attended. That's not in the typical Expo hall. There was, you know, a mass group of people that went to go see that and play that, and then they moved to the hall at some point. There was some period of time where they were off the floor and people were like, oh no, they pulled him because everything broke. And no, the reality is that it was those two machines were back getting press photos taken or something like that. So they were up and running pretty much the entire time. So yeah, but it looks good. It looks interesting. I'm not confident on their shipping schedule, because, you know, Full Throttle didn't sell super well, and so we don't really know what their manufacturing capabilities are. And so that's one of those things where hopefully they'll have one in Texas early next year, and I'll be able to play it in person, and that's probably when we'll see, you know, how the game feels. You know, it's all about fun, right? And Alien is kind of one of those things where it's like, that's the furthest from fun that I can imagine as far as like your emotional roller coaster, because Alien and Aliens, mostly Alien though, is one of those suspense horror type things. I haven't seen the movie, but I have researched it. And I don't know, suspense horror without being campy is kind of one of those, well, is that really going to work for pinball? Or should you be like in your house, no lights on, nothing but Alien, and is that where you get, those adrenaline rushes, and that's where you get all of those emotions that you're supposed to feel from that type of a movie. So I don't know. We'll see. In a brightly lit room, who knows? It looks nice, though. It does look nice. So yeah, we'll see. Okay, plenty of time spent on those. Other companies that were there but did not make any announcements. I think there's only one. Yeah, we have Spooky. So Spooky was there with Domino's and their other machines, I think. Domino's was the one that was getting talked about the most. My biggest concern on Domino's, when the two Twitch streams were going on, both Buffalo Pinball and Deadflip, both high-quality streamers on Twitch, they both had their turns on the machine a couple months ago, and I had some concerns, and there was two avenues to these concerns. One of them is software, which I know that's a constantly updating thing. You know, you get to a certain point in the game and certain scenarios, things are uncovered, and it's like, okay, let's fix that. And that's not a big concern, because that's changeable. You can adjust that when the game is long gone from the factory and it's sitting either on location or in your living room. The thing you can't change so much is the physical geometry and layout of the game. And the Noid Loop, which, if you look at America's Most Haunted, if you've never seen Domino's, but if you look at America's Most Haunted, where the ghost is and that three target drop thing is, they're not drop targets. It's like an entire wall of three targets that drops down to expose the ghost shot. Well, that's the Noid shot. It's probably in the same exact spot. But there's an orbit that goes around it on Domino's. And the feed of that geometry was a little dangerous. And that was one of those things that I was really concerned about, because if you don't fix that, then that's going to be a frustration point. And I don't think a shot like that, which I have always, as soon as I saw that, it's not the same exact position, but it looks so similar to the lock shot on Theater of Magic, which, if you want to do a list of like top five or top 10 most fun shots to hit in all of pinball, that lock shot is easily in my top 10 and potentially in my top five. That loop, even when you're not shooting for locks, but that inner loop, inner orbit thing is so fun. And it's like, that is the most essence of pinball. So I was enlightened to see that shot on the Spooky game, and I was really concerned at a couple of the shots. Most of the time it fed just fine. I'm not trying to destroy the geometry on that one, but every now and then it's like, ooh, that was a little dangerous, because you didn't shoot it like full speed and it kind of dribbled out and then it went straight down the middle, and there's a post there, but that should feed a little nicely. You shouldn't be punished for making a shot, in my opinion, on a game like that. But they did have a machine there. It had new code, and it had slightly tweaked geometry. And I haven't seen any video of the production game, or the pre-production game. But the feedback that I've pinged from people is that they did fix that. I mean, you're 95% safe. So that's good news. There's supposed to be, so it's Friday. So tomorrow at 1 o'clock Eastern, there is a stream that Buffalo Pinball is going to do. I'm crossing games. That's a different game. And they're going to have an announcement on that. They're doing a dialed in, show, but I think, let's see, what is the date? The 21st. I don't remember, but I do know that Domino's is going to get streamed on Twitch. The new version, Spooky's already making them. They showed the first game on the line yesterday on Facebook. And I need to see how that shot works before anything. You know, I hope that's been fixed and resolved and it's a non-issue at this point. But if you're going to have a shot like that, you can't make it punishing. So let's see. Oh, and also some latest news on Spooky is some rumor titles. And I don't want to go around spreading rumors, so I won't say what people have been talking about. But there's two titles that are kind of the strongest leaders from what I don't even know where these come from. People, I think people just make them up and somebody runs with it. It's like, oh, I heard from such and such. Well, they just made that up, so it's not true, so whatever. I'm sure somebody might have information, but that's why, whatever. The two titles that have been floated, I would be 50-50 on one, and the other one, I would be like, oh my goodness, that is like my childhood Saturday mornings in a nutshell. So, you know, what do you think about that response? Let's see. They've also said that they have another contract game, just like what Domino's is in their eyes. Domino's is not Spooky number 3. Domino's is a contract machine, and Spooky is working on game number 3, and they have not announced it, obviously, and they haven't said when they will announce it. So, but the news is that they have another contract game in the works or in working or, you know, whatever. You don't know these things until they show them and announce them. And that's cool. I mean, Domino's might have been a one and done as far as, hey, let's try this. And the guy that kind of bird dogged that at Domino's, he's a pinhead, you know. So if you're given that opportunity, that's something that I would run with as well. You know, that's really exciting to be able to design a pinball machine under the umbrella of the company you work for. I think that would be really cool. But Spooky's working on a second one, which I think is also really cool. So, so I'm excited to find out both what their next title is and what the contract machine is that they're working on. And, yeah, so hopefully that's not too far down the road. And Spooky, aside from Stern just, like, churning games out like clockwork, Spooky is probably the company I trust most as far as a production schedule, because they're not saying 2 years out, oh yeah, we're working on title XYZ and it takes them 2 years to actually get it on the line. They're not at that point anymore. They don't have to say anything. And Charlie's really good at not saying anything, because Charlie is also amazing when it comes to customer service and even just chit chat from random people like yours truly, who has emailed Charlie several times, be like, hey, you know, I had a few questions on stuff, and he answered them. But they know when to talk and they know when not to. And they just build games and post photos of them building games and make their customers happy. So anyways, enough Spooky talk. Yes, I know I like Spooky. It's been documented. I've said it before. I don't know if fanboy is the right term, but when it comes to people in pinball manufacturing, I really like Spooky. I just like the way they do things. I like who they are. So it is what it is. So back to Expo. Custom games. The Expo is not the greatest place to go play machines if you're just going in to play machines. Expo is where things get revealed. The free play area is not quite as strong as some other venues, especially for the size and the legacy that the Chicago Pinball Expo has. However, there was a custom game area, both P-Rock and Fast, which are two hardware systems. Both of them run a couple different software systems just fine. And there were several machines. There was one Total Annihilation. There was one from the Doom video games. And I just got a text message and completely threw me off track. Okay, so Total Annihilation, Doom, Buffy the Vampire Slayer. There's one called Casino, which is, it's like High Roller Casino, but really good. it's if Stern was doing like super awesome stuff to High Roller Casino in the beginning, that's what this would be. It looks really cool. And there's probably, I know there's several more. There's a Tattoo Majestic one or something like that, and it's got a lady in the back glass and on some of the different artworks, and depending on which lights are shining through, like sometimes she looks, you know, just like not Sunday best, but, you know, very nice. And other times she looks kind of pinup-y. And then other times it's like a Suicide Girl, where she's got all the tattoos and stuff. And that's all just done with lighting. It's not even done with a display. And there's some super cool custom machines that are coming out. And it would be really cool if a few of these got snagged by some companies and are like, hey, we'll do your machine because your machine is awesome. So yeah, that was awesome. And then while Expo was going on, the Texas Pinball Festival Facebook page was sharing some of these pictures and saying, do you want this machine in Texas? Do you want this machine? Should we have a custom game era or, you know, something along those lines? And I'm sitting there like, dude, I can't get to Chicago Pinball Expo, but I'm going to Texas. Heck yeah, bring those things on down. So that was very exciting. That was probably the most exciting aspect for me because I might have the chance to see these games. There's a lot of work that goes into these machines, and it's very much the thankless hobby, you know, doing it after hours type of thing, and it takes a long time. And when people reveal these things, and they're just, it blows me away. There's a Minions machine getting done in, I think it's the Netherlands, and by three guys, and they only post updates on Fridays, because that's kind of when they get to get together and work on this thing. And it's so cool. Like, it's super project-y, you can tell, but it's so cool. And that's running P-Rock as well. It's P-Rock and the MPF software. But yeah, custom games. These are cool. They're a lot of work, but they're so cool. I'm so happy people are willing to share these things. And in any state, you know, you can see them right off the beginning. You can follow them the whole way. And some people just drop it on you like, hey, here's Doom, and it's almost done. And you're like, oh, wow. I mean, and these things, most of these have monitor displays. They're not doing anything with DMDs. I mean, the custom community is ahead of the game on that aspect. And what's really funny is that Stern, with Batman 66 being revealed, Stern is the last major manufacturer to get rid of the DMD legacy or the DMD mind frame or whatever you want to call it. That is no longer in their bill of materials. So their visual stuff has been completely changed, and they're the last one to do it. And so there's three categories of pins. There's EM, solid states, and DMD. Like, that's kind of how people classify what era they're from. And we might have to add a fourth category, which is LCD. And, you know, that's cool. That's all right, you know, because DMD had a good run. So let's see. Okay, Expo over and done with. We're done talking about that. So let's do a little project update. So I played a couple games of High Speed, the Restoration, and there's most of the game works. The two switches on the upper ramp do not work very often. And so when you get to having a red light and you're trying to shoot it up there, yeah, you rarely get into multi-ball. So that'll be one of the first things I work on that one. But overall, the game is still fun to play. I mean, the glass is actually glass, and so I don't have it on there. I don't have the trans light on there. So all you can see is the lights on the light board and the displays as they are. I have the glass off because on occasion, I have to, you know, just tweak something here and there. I have rebuilt the flippers. If you'll recall a couple episodes ago, I said that I shattered the linkage of one of the flippers, which was an extremely big bummer because that meant I had to stop playing and order some rebuild kits. So I've rebuilt all three flippers. Game shoots great. I'm pretty decent at that upper flipper shot, but not always, but fortunately, it doesn't kill you unless you get halfway up the ramp. If you, like, completely brick it and, you know, then it's bouncing somewhere else. If you get halfway up that ramp, it's the same exact thing as when we would play the Stern Star Trek. Because you get halfway up the warp ramp, and guess what? It's coming right down that right-out lane. So, yeah, I see that a lot. But, yeah, so that project's just kind of getting played. It's not really been torn apart quite yet because Joust is still on the block. So I put the decals on for the cabinet and the head. The only thing that didn't go on perfectly smooth was the front one because the coin box or the coin door is not in place, and so it kind of drooped on the inside, and that kind of created some wrinkles. I was kind of bummed, but whatever. it's not going to be a showpiece, because I'm sure the art's already not as accurate as it should be anyways. It's whatever, you know, but the sides look really nice. Everything looks really nice. The only problem is that there is some peeling on some of the edges. I was kind of bummed about that because I was really careful with wiping down the cabinet and the head on the sides with rubbing alcohol, IPA, and not rubbing alcohol, but isopropyl alcohol, IPA for short. And, you know, so there's no oils or anything like that on the cabinet, and it still is peeling a little bit. And I can deal with that because I can use like another different type of glue and do like a spray adhesive and put it down, and that'll be fine. I'm not really concerned about that. My biggest worry is the playfield, because I have the same type of decal that I'm about to put on the playfield. I've clear coated the playfield. It looks amazing. I had to drip some clear coat into some of the inserts where the wood and the plastic had, well, the plastic shrinks, you know, so you have cupped inserts. So I filled those in, and I filled around the perimeter of some of the inserts that had shrunk and kind of left a little bit of a crevice there. That took two passes, if we will, on some of the spots, but, you know, whatever. I looked at it today when I came home, and it looks really good. I'm ready to sand that second pass flat, and then kind of sand that. I've been using some rougher sandpaper, so kind of sand that up to about 600 grit, which is what's suggested, and then you can hit it with another thing of clear. I think I'm just going to do the naphtha thing and kind of clean off all the dust and everything, and then that should be the perfect adhesion for the overlay. The decal that just like what I did on the cabinet sides and heads and everything. So yeah, I still have to also print out the insert water slide decals. So there's 1 through 9, and there might be some other stuff on there. But so I'm gonna have to do at least 9 water slide decals, and then I'm gonna clear those, and then I'm gonna do the overlay, which I'm super nervous about. And then clear the overlay after, you know, doing the 600 grit sanding on that. Clear that probably twice, and then buff it nicely, and fingers crossed the whole time. And then put the thing back together and play the crap out of this thing. I've had this game for 4.5 years, and I've played like 3 games on it before I started tearing it down. I am so ready to play this game. So that's Pinball Project, or Pinball Machine Project update. So I tried Twitch. And the computer I tried it with does not have the processing power to do that. It's a newer machine. It just isn't, the processor is not quick enough. And so, yeah, that was choppy. The setting up of the cameras and everything was probably about 2 hours total. And then I tried a stream, and I was just like, oh, this is not super good. So anyways, I tried with another computer, which is a XP workstation, which has a monster graphics card, but it's a graphics card, not a video card. But it has kind of a slower, older processor. It's not a bad processor. It's just not, it doesn't have the cycle time that they would like. Fortunately, that is a super common socket set. And if I'm getting more technical than what you care about for pinball, sorry, but I can order a processor on eBay for like $12 ship that used to cost $300, and it's got a clock speed of, I think it was 3.3 gigahertz, and the one that's in there now, it's a dual core, and I think it's only like 1.86, which obviously is not going to work, but I just wanted to see how it worked. And so I had it all set up, and I gave it a shot, and it was okay. Definitely need more cycles, though, because it went to 100% CPU usage almost instantly. And, yeah, at that, you're not going to get high-quality stuff. All right, so there's the Twitch update. If that doesn't work, I'm going to be kind of bummed, though, because I bought some cameras just for this. You know, they're not super expensive. They're webcams, but they're what most everybody uses for pinball streaming. But I was really hoping one of those two machines would be able to handle it. So, I don't know. That's the fork in the road. If this $14 processor, which used to be $300, it is basically the best processor that this chipset, or this socket, is capable of handling, And if that doesn't do it, I don't know. I might just have to put the cameras away for a while. So, yeah, so that's it. That's 35 minutes of probably too much talking. And, you know, I'm very bad at keeping my, hey, let's keep these to 10 or 15 minute attempts. But whatever it is, what it is. And, you know, give me beer and a microphone and I'll drink beer and talk into the microphone. So that's about it. I actually have a note in my show notes that says shirts, webpage, Facebook. That's how bad I am at delivering some of this information. I have shirts. I have sold them to local players, which it's kind of funny because everybody gets the memo and everybody has their shirt, which is funny to me because you see it at work and you're like, yeah, you know, we're wearing the same exact thing. But when you have half the group come up to a pinball event and everybody or half those people is they're wearing the Tucson pinball shirts, I really like that. I think it's funny. But I really like it because it's cool, you know, and I appreciate that. I've also shipped a couple shirts. I'm not afraid to do that. And if you need the sizes, I have in men's sizes, I have medium, large, extra large, and just a touch over, I don't know. There's a few double XLs in there. I don't know how many because I've sold a few more than I've been keeping track of. I think I got 6 of those to begin with. I think I've sold 2, so I might have 4. So, I mean, if you want one, I've got you covered. But if everybody wants one, I don't. So, anyways, so shirts are available. Check it out on the webpage. And the webpage is TucsonPinball.com. We have a button to the Facebook page on there if you're preferring to do that. And there's also a just regular way to find us. If you search in on Facebook, we are Tucson Pinball LLC. The Tucson Pinball with Friends is not the one you want. I'm sure they're very nice, but that's a person, and I have no idea how that happened. It's not me, though, and or it's not us. And so if you want to find us, we are a page. We have a very cool sugar skull with a red background that the folks at Double Danger Pinball did for us. They make some really cool shirts, and they did the art for us, and they also did our shirts. And so, yeah, that's the one you want. So check us out there. Outside of that, I think I'm done. I'm rambling. Episode 10 in the books. Later. Party on.
Party on, Wayne.
Party on, Garth.
It's Wayne's World. Wayne's World. Party time.
We're clear.